Let's find out ways to save money. Let's get sensible about this, Johan. People sensible. Have to listen to you. We hold back going to experts because we think, oh, I know better, but we don't. Jovan Švetkovský is here. If you'd like to call through with a question to him, director and financial advisor for the Knight Group. Superannuation. Oh, boy, when you're young, you think, what the heck? Do you know what I remember years ago having a super fund? And I think I was at 9, 7 at that stage. And they went broke. The superannuation fund.
The super fund went broke.
Yes, it went broke. I've forgotten the name of it now.
Very
unusual. It's embezzlement.
Someone was doing the wrong thing.
Someone was definitely doing the wrong thing and lost quite a bit of money. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm still doing that. I'll give it away. Why not? Okay, things that we do incorrectly as far as our super fund is concerned, because as you get older, you realise how important it's going to be.
Yeah, look, that's the five biggest superannuation mistakes and how to fix them. So, I find that most people, most of the Australian public, until it comes to crunch time, are pretty apathetic about their super and don't really take much action. So, a mistake number one is not consolidating superannuation accounts.
Yeah.
So when you get your super statement, you know, are you getting more than one? Are you getting three? Are you getting two?
All from different companies.
That's right, from different super companies. So I've got some ATO numbers here.
Yeah.
So according to the ATO, 3.5 million Australians have more than one super account.
Okay, they move jobs, I suppose, that sort of thing.
Yeah, before super stapling was part of the package, you know, you'd get a new one with each job. So the ATO says that Australians lose $3.9 billion annually to unnecessary fees across multiple accounts. And look, that makes sense. Super funds charge fees as a percentage, and the smaller your account is, the higher the percentage is.
Really?
So if you've got three small accounts, you're going to be getting charged more than having one big account.
What sort of percentage do they charge? Any idea? Or is it all different?
It's all different, but there's always an admin fee. And that sort of is a fixed admin fee.
Annually. Okay.
Yeah. So if you've got three accounts, you're getting charged three sets of admin fees.
Okay. That sounds, pretty awful to have happen.
Yeah, look, it. Sometimes there can be a reason to have more than one super account, but for most people, it's just good old apathy.
Okay, so let's find a conclusion to that. What should they do if they're going to change? Because everyone's changing jobs at the moment, sadly, or are out of a job and they've got several. Who do they have to contact? All the super funds they're with, I guess.
Yeah, look, you can do. So the way to fix this is the first thing is to do is log into your MyGov portal and click on the ATO tab, and you can see all of your super funds there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And look, you can even consolidate them online by yourself using your MyGov portal.
And you would have a password that gets you in there.
Yeah, look, the two-factor authentication, probably a password and a text to your phone number or an email.
Okay.
So everyone in Australia can have a MyGov account and probably already has one.
If they haven't, now let me just say there are a few out there that don't do a lot on the computer. Can they ring?
You can.
Super funds.
Yeah, you can call the super funds. But logging into MyGov is the quickest. It takes 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, for people that know how to do it.
Yep, that's right. You can contact the funds directly as well is another option. And there is some caution to be had here. So just check to make sure you don't lose any insurance if you're merging funds.
What do you mean by insurance?
Like life insurance.
What, on the super fund? They've
that's
got life
right.
insurance,
yeah.
haven't you? Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So you might be unknowingly getting rid of some life insurance that if you knew about, you may want to keep.
So if you want to consolidate, say that you've got three and two of them get to go to one that you have,
yep.
do you make sure that there is insurance on that one that you've added to?
Well, if that's what you want to have, if you want insurance or need insurance.
Do you have to pay extra for that?
You do, of course. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you've got a separate insurance on your life or whatever,
that's right.
home or whatever,
yep.
you can get rid of that cost. Would that be right?
That's right. Yeah, if you've got life insurance arrangements outside of super or in another fund.
Well, a lot of people would be in the position at the moment, even with their single fund that they've got, they may be paying insurance.
Yeah, they might be, and they may not need to, or they may need to. So that part is all down to how much debt you have and whether your kids are young and what sort of asset base you've got.
It's too complicated.
Well, that's why the very last dot point here on my notes, Jenny, says, seek advice if you are unsure which funds to merge your super into.
And listen and take advice.
Yeah.
Being too conservative Is that what you just touched on?
No. So, yeah, this would be mistake number two. It's being either too conservative or aggressive with your investment options. So it's not actually understanding how you're invested. So if you don't make an election, your super fund will throw you in the default balanced option. And that means between 60 to 80% in growth assets or aggressive assets. And look, if you're younger and you've got, you know, 10 or 15 years until you can even access your super, let's say you're 30, you've got 30 years before you can access it, you should actually be closer to 100% shares because it's going to get you a better outcome.
You have to ask your super fund whether that is the case, right?
That's right. Yeah, look, okay. I mean, if you're in balanced, let's say you're in balanced and then you're 25, yeah, you might be giving up on average 1% a year in returns for the next 35 years.
Gosh.
Now, 1% doesn't sound like a lot, but it's hundreds of thousands of dollars over 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're young. The market's going to crash many times before you can touch your super.
So the question is, if you ring your super fund, do I have?
Well, ask them what my investment option is. Am I, you know, how am I invested and how aggressive is that?
Okay.
Yeah.
If they're very young, they can be more aggressive?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. As a general rule, absolutely. If you're heading into retirement, and or you're about to draw your money or you're close to retirement, a balanced option might be too aggressive. You might sit there and go, well, I don't want 80% of my money in the share market.
Okay, that does make sense now. Mm. Okay. I have to get you to explain very simply to me, okay? Is that
no
right?
Problem.
Switching to cash when markets crash.
Yes, this would be mistake number three. So this is a big mistake. So think about COVID.
Talked about that earlier.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, switching, you know, if you switch your super fund to cash when times are not so great for share markets, it actually means you have to get two decisions right or correct. You have to bail out at the right time and then you have to buy back in at the right time. The reality is that share markets, look, they move far too violently and quickly when times are volatile for you to get those two decisions right.
Yeah,
and exactly. In my experience, the vast majority of people who sell to cash when trouble is afoot, they actually never get back into the market.
Mm.
Even if they get that first decision right, they sell to cash, the market...
They cash in their super,
that's
is that what
right.
you're saying?
Well, yeah, they sell it all, so it all goes to cash.
Okay.
Within their super fund.
And they've got... but it can't be invested in cash in their account for them. It can earn interest. No, I see.
Well, it's earning interest in their super,
yep,
but it's in cash. It's not in the share market.
Well, how is the difference?
Well, the difference is the tax rate in super is lower than your personal tax rate. Because
okay,
you can invest your super in whatever you choose.
Oh, okay.
As long as the fund permits it.
So when you invest in cash, you're not saying the person is going to get the cash.
No, they're just changing their profile.
What does that mean? What does it mean?
It means they've got no share market exposure.
So what does that cash go?
It just sits in cash and earns interest.
It just sits there and earns
That's
interest.
That's right.
It's not taking any risk.
It's not taking any risk at
right.
all,
got
other
it.
Than it's not going to keep pace with inflation.
Okay.
And what normally happens is someone cashes in,
yep,
and then 4 years later, the market's back on its merry way, mm-hmm, and it's earning 8 or 9% a year, and that person's stuck in cash earning 3 or 4.
But if you're at a certain age, like retirement age and that sort of thing, is that an option, a good one or not?
No, I would not say that anyone in the long term, cash is risky.
Okay. Mm. All right. Okay. Just never knew there was options like that.
Yep.
What else?
Look, not making extra contributions is, I would say, the fourth mistake. Now, your employer, if you are employed, puts in 12% of your salary or wage. So if you are an average income earner, let's say, which I think in WA is about the $100,000 or $109,000 mark per annum from memory, don't bash me over the head, listeners, if I've gotten that wrong. But the studies say that you need a rate of about 14 to 15% super contributions if you are on the average wage to get a comfortable retirement.
So 12% isn't enough.
Yeah, so you want to put like another 2 or 3% in. So the way to fix it is do a budget, make sure you can afford it, and then go to your employer and salary sacrifice, you know, contribute some extra money before tax to your super fund.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the easiest one to do and you'll adjust to the having less cash in your fortnightly, weekly or monthly pay packet.
And you're not paying tax. So go to your HR department and say that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Look at it and say, hey, look, you guys are putting in 12%. I've calculated I want to put in another 3%.
Yeah.
It's this much per fortnight. Put it in for me before tax.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. As long as you've got that spare. At the moment, it's a bit tough for everybody, but when things get better, we hope.
Oh, look, this thing about salary sacrifice is it's an arrangement you can change at any pay cycle. You just go straight back to HR and say, turn it off.
Okay. What about being in a poor performing fund?
This is number 5. Yep. So, you know, most people probably don't pay a lot of attention. So if they're sitting in a fund that performs poorly in the long term, you know, having 1 or 2 years of negative performance or underperformance is not a big deal.
You should be checking all the time.
Yeah, as long as the long-term returns are there. But if you're sitting in a fund where, you know, let's say it's a growth fund, let's say that's mostly in shares, and over the course of the last 5 years you've gotten 4 or 5%.
That's not enough.
When you should have gotten 8, 9 or 10.
Right, okay.
You're really missing out on a lot.
It's a bit of a gamble, isn't it, when you think about it?
Look, long-term...
Long-term, no, because it...
That's right.
Ups and downs.
That's right. So, and it should always be thought of as a long-term endeavour, because that's what it is, Super. It's a long-term thing.
Well, as soon as you start being employed at a very young age, it's meant to be happening, isn't it?
Yeah, so the way to fix... That's right. I mean, this is your money.
Yeah.
So this is what I would stress to people. This money, you might think of it as something your employer, it's a cost to your employer, but if they were not putting this money into a super fund for you, you would be getting it as a wage.
Yeah, okay.
And I guarantee you, people pay far more attention to what they're getting in their hand than what they do into their super, even though both of it is money.
I know, but
it's your money.
You see the money in your hand, you don't see it in super so much. And it's long-term thinking. We all have to think that way because the future, gosh, we don't know where it's going financially, really. The cost of housing and employment, you know, it is a slightly different world these days.
Yeah. Well, that's why economists used to say things like, you know, in the long run, we're all dead. And I think the politicians took that to heart because everything they do is short term.
Good point, Jovan. Okay. Well, next week you'll be with, what's his name? Jamie.
Oh, Jamie's back.
Dear Jamie.
You're on holiday. Look at that.
Well, I guess I'm accompanying 40 people.
Oh, look at that. I'm jealous.
They're gorgeous people too. I've met them all.
You'll have a great time, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure too. Thank you so much, Jovan.
Thank you, Jenny.
Jovan Jaworski.